This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're glad you've tuned us in, and we trust that the program will be a help and a blessing to you. Now, for those of you who would like to contact me, again, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. The website has information on it that you might find helpful in addition to this program and a weekly meditation. There's questions and answers. There's a two roads chart. My testimony is there. There's some tracks there. My wife's testimony is there. And if you're interested in any of that material, you might want to go to the website. So if you want to contact me through regular mail or want to go to the website, I'll give you those addresses at the close of the program. Now today we're continuing to work with Luke chapter 18. And if you'll remember, in Luke chapter 18, the question was asked, when the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now we do know that the Lord is coming again. He's told us that. And the coming again of the Lord, as we've mentioned before, has a number of parts to it. He came the first time as a babe in Bethlehem's manger. He's going to come the second time to reign. But when he comes the second time, he comes first to remove the Christians from the terrible tribulation that's going to come. We call that the rapture. And then he's going to come to reign. And the question is, when we get to this period of time, will there be faith on the earth? And the question could be asked, since we're moving into that period of time, is there faith on the earth right now? And the question could also be asked, will people who go through the tribulation period have, will there be people left that will have faith when the Lord comes to set up his kingdom? There's a number of applications we could make, but remember, the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, is just one coming, even though it has different manifestations and different parts to it. And so we want to make this a personal question today. Will there be faith on the earth when the Lord comes? And of course, if I were to ask that question, everybody would say yes. And of course, the Lord then says, well, now wait a minute. I'm not talking about the kind of faith that this Pharisee had when he went and into the temple to pray, and he prayed with himself and said, I thank God I am not as other men are, nor even like this publican, the tax collector that, of course, all the Jews despised. He was very self-righteous, and he thought he was a worshiper of God. And the Lord is saying, no, that's not the kind of faith I'm looking for. I'm looking for the kind of faith that the publican had when he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So it's not self-righteousness that the Lord is looking for. It's not pride that the Lord's looking for when he says, will there be faith on the earth? And then he says, we've got to come to him as simple children. And so it's not the faith is not the thing that's taught in Bible school. It's not the thing that's taught in seminary. Faith is the thing that you have when you're alone with God, wrestling with whether he's real, whether you can depend upon him, whether he can forgive your sins, and you find out that Christ died for you and you depend on it. It's a new birth, and we are born of the Spirit. And that's the kind of faith he's looking for, where as simple children we just take God at his word and depend on what he has said. And now we come to a section where we find out that it's not the keeping of the moral law, because we really can't keep the moral law. So we come down to Luke chapter 18, and we'll begin reading at verse 19. Actually, we'll begin reading at verse 18, Luke 18 and verse 18, where a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. It's not impossible, notice, but it is hard. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, With men, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God, so even a rich man can be saved. And I just want to stop here for a moment, and I want to say that as far as I'm concerned, the people that I'm talking to today are rich, and we're self-reliant. And even though I know that from the standpoint of society, we have many poor amongst us, we are really a rich society. And I think the fact that we have riches and we're grasping after riches and that we are spending our time on the so-called American dream instead of on spiritual things is a real hindrance to the gospel and to receiving the gospel. If I were to ask most people what their objective is in life, it's to get ahead. But our objective in life should be to trust in the Lord Jesus and then to follow him, that is to please him and to be all that he would like us to be. Now, works have never saved anyone. But a person who is saved and doesn't say thank you through a changed life and through the works that he does, James says, does not have saving faith. And so while that may be a bit of a conundrum, yet we know that as we look at the world today, we are, at least in the United States, a rich people. As a matter of fact, it's my understanding that it's the poor in many of the underdeveloped countries that are responding to the simple, sweet strains of the gospel today. They are rejoicing in the fact that there's a God in heaven who loves them, and they are coming to Christ, whereas in the United States, we are rich and we have difficulty relying on others because we want to be self-sufficient. Now, as we look at this passage, this young man had a number of problems. For the first one that I see is he said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Good teacher, I think he says, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Now, the first thing is we don't usually do something to inherit. Usually someone has to die for us to inherit. And so I suppose what the young man was saying is, what do I have to do to make sure I'm in the will so that I will have eternal life? And if that's what he's saying, I guess I can understand it. But it always has been interesting to me that he's talking about inheriting, and he's talking about doing something to inherit, and it almost appears like he's one of these people who wants to get into the good graces of God so that he can obtain something out of the will. But regardless, the truth of the matter is it's only sinners that are in the will, because Christ came to die for sinners, for the ungodly. And so unless a person can humble himself, as we've already seen, like a little children, and take the place of one who is in need of God's salvation, not self-reliant, he'll never be able to enter into the kingdom of God. So I don't think you'd normally do something to inherit eternal life. That was a legal problem as far as I'm concerned, but yet he may have been saying, I want to do something so I can be sure that I will be included in the will. But the second problem was very serious. The Lord says to him, why do you call me good? Because there's only one good, that's God. So this man was trying, in a sense, to compliment the Lord, calling him good, realized that he'd been doing good for others. But he apparently the Lord knew that he didn't really believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was God. And that is a crucial issue today. How many religions, and even in the Christian, so-called Christian faith, how many people are there, how many denominations are there who would like to say that the Lord Jesus was just a man, a good man, but just a man, the last prophet, but just a prophet? The Lord tells us right here that that doesn't work. Either he is God or he is not good. So those persuasions, those denominations, those religions who say the Lord Jesus was a good man and his example for us to follow are saying, well, we're following one who didn't know who he was, who lied to us, and we're going to call him good. It just doesn't work. Either the Lord was who he claimed to be, God, or we might as well dismiss everything that he tells us, because then he's just a man like us, a sinner like us, and he couldn't die for our sins. He couldn't be the sacrifice that would satisfy God. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it's quite clear that the Word there is a title of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus has expressed God to the world, and he's the expression of God to the world. He's not only the message, but he's the messenger. And either he's good and God, or he's a liar and he's not good, and there's no point in following him. And this young man had to face a crucial issue that we need to face as we preach the gospel in the world today. Now, the young man was told that he needed to keep the commandments. And so the commandments, the moral commandments, are listed, and he says he's kept them all. Now, that's a very presumptuous thing. Do you suppose that the young man had, I suppose he'd never really murdered. I don't suppose he'd committed adultery. He probably had never stolen. I wonder if he had always honored his father and his mother. He probably was a pretty good man. But the point is that these commands aren't all there is. The Lord tells us that we're to love God and we're to love our neighbor, and we're not to be covetous. And this man loved himself more than he loved his neighbor, and he wanted to accumulate for himself. He wanted to build up treasure on earth, not treasure in heaven. And so the Lord points out that he still has a problem with his relationship with God, because he's a covetous young man. You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, I want to say that if that was actually the way to heaven, there wouldn't be very many people go, would there? Distribute all that you have. I have to admit that I don't have much, but I do have a house, and I wouldn't sell it and distribute it to the poor. Now, he might have been talking about distributing to the poor the things that he didn't need for his own personal well-being, because I'm sure this fellow had his IRAs and his CDs and all of his savings accounts and his stocks and his bonds, and the Lord was probably talking about those sorts of investments. But nevertheless, this is a great test. Which is more important, time or eternity, the Lord or your riches? And this man went away grieved. He was not able to accept the fact that he couldn't pass this test. And so, can a rich man be saved? Is our riches always going to be in the way? And the Lord says a rich man can be saved. What's impossible with men is possible with God. And there were many rich men in the Bible saved, and there are rich men saved today. But folks, we have to see ourselves as a poor, needy sinner in need of God's salvation, and we have to rest wholly on the Lord Jesus Christ if we're going to be saved. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon the program and upon those who have listened. We pray that you'll draw people to yourself and that you'll save even today. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.